Leviticus 25 and verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And I'd like to welcome you this morning to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast for the past 26 weeks now. This is actually week 27. We have been studying our great founding principles, and today on the radio broadcast, we're going to look at the largest one so far. We're going to look at the subject of debt is what we're going to be looking at. Noah's got the comic relief. That's actually
a pun.
Maybe some people didn't get it. The large debt. That is everything that has been in the news for weeks and weeks and months now. And so I did not plan it this way. And I know that's a poor attempt at humor.
Very poor.
Maybe don't quit my day job. Yeah. But anyway, never mind that. That's a poor attempt at humor, I guess. The largeness of the national debt is certainly nothing to laugh at. But it's one of those things, either laugh or cry. And so what are you going to do? Anyway, good morning to everyone listening in. We appreciate it. Good morning, Noah. How are you today?
I'm doing good today.
Good.
Thank you. We want to say how much we appreciate all our listeners, those who listen in on AM 1450 right here in Boone, and also those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate all of our listeners. My name is Pastor Wynn Greer. I'm the pastor of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. We are located just 1 mile up Bairds Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. We'd love for you to come and visit with us in any or all of our services. Every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we have Wednesday night prayer meeting. I'm teaching through the book of Colossians. There's just a great, rich treasure trove I've found there. I never knew the book of Colossians had so much meat in it. I've just never studied it out verse by verse, but we're doing that, having a great time. We'd love for you to come be with us Sunday morning, Sunday school at 10 o'clock, Sunday morning worship service at 11 o'clock, second and fourth Sunday night at 6 o'clock. So I'd like to invite you to come and be with us. I do want to make a quick announcement before I get started this morning. That is the VBC Bible Institute Satellite School begins Thursday night, August the 18th. The Satellite School is going to be a branch of the actual an option of going to class in Roan Mountain, Tennessee. But right here locally, we are going to offer this series of classes, and then the fall semester is what I'm talking about right now, though. But you'll be able to go on Thursday nights to the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church Fellowship Hall. If you are interested in a solid, fundamental Bible education, maybe you would be interested in this opportunity. Classes will be every Thursday night. The fall semester is 16 weeks. Class will begin at 6:30 on Thursday night, and it will run until 9:20. There are 3 50-minute classes during that time period. The classes this fall, New Testament Survey, Brother Tull Oaks is the instructor there. The Book of Romans, Brother Kenneth Forbes is the instructor in that class. And then I will be teaching the class Kingdom of the Cults. This is a class I've taught before. It's very interesting. All of them are. This is not just for preachers. It's primarily geared towards those who would pastor, preach, be a missionary, a youth pastor, an associate pastor, maybe a young man just called to preach, someone along those lines. But anybody is welcome to come and take these classes. If you go through the whole three-year program, you will earn a bachelor's degree. But I would just say, if you're interested, you can go to vbcministries.org. That stands for Victory Baptist Church Ministries.org, and you can find out information there. Or if you're interested, you can call me locally. That is in the Boone, Watauga County area, and our church phone number is 828-963-4596. If we do not answer right away, just leave a message and I will get back with you. And so that is a wonderful opportunity I'd like for you to think about, pray about. If you know somebody that might be interested in that, please let them know. Now, going on with our subject today on the radio broadcast, I'd never planned for this to happen. In fact, I could not have planned it out to work out any better than it has. But today's principle, which is number 27, the one that we're looking at today, this is 27 out of 28 founding principles. So we're getting ready to wind this up. But number 27, and the reason I say it's significant to land on today is because all we've heard about for months is the debt ceiling must be raised by today or else the end of the world is going to come and nobody will survive. That's pretty much all we've heard on the news. Maybe it's not been that bad, but boy, we've heard a lot of news about the debt of our nation and what are the politicians in Washington going to do. And today, August the 2nd, they had to have something decided or we would go into default, they said, although I don't really believe that. But that's the way it was spun to the American people, that this had to be done. And we've heard that over and over again for the past 2 years. And actually, if you study it out, it's something that has been done many, many times in the nation of our country. Well, anyway, principle number 27 is this: the burden of debt is as destructive to freedom as subjugation by conquest. Now, this is the way it's phrased in the little book, The 5,000-Year Leap. There's 28 founding principles, and we've went through every one of them. We've gave a scriptural principle, a historical example, and a present-day application. Lord willing, I'm going to try to do that today. But let me read that again. This is something our founders believed in very emphatically. The burden of debt is as destructive to freedom as subjugation by conquest. Now, a short way to say that would just simply be this: the destructiveness of debt. And my prayer, as I was thinking about it this morning and praying about the radio broadcast and what the Lord would have me to say today, my prayer is that the Lord would allow us to see things as they really are, not how we are told that they are. And there's a huge difference between the two. And I believe if there's any hope for our nation, we as just common everyday citizens, we need to start seeing things as they are, not as we are told that they are. And so there's a difference between those two. We need to begin to see things as they really are. The destructiveness of debt. This principle that we're looking at today, it teaches us that there's more than one way for a nation to lose its liberty. Now, one way to lose our liberty would be subjugation by conquest. And what that simply means is, well, we could be attacked from an outside enemy. They could come into our nation. They could attack our nation. They could defeat our nation's military. And just like it's happened in many, many other nations in the history of this world, we could be overthrown. We could be defeated. We could be overrun by a foreign enemy, and they could be our masters, and we would end up their slaves. Well, that's one way for a nation to lose its liberty. But the second way a nation can lose its liberty, which is where we are in America today, we can become slaves by indebtedness. We can become slaves by indebtedness. Now, the first thing I want us to look at today is a scriptural principle. You know, if you know anything about the radio broadcast or you've listened for some amount of time, you know that I'm a huge fan of the book of Proverbs. And I've, for several years now, I've read a chapter out of the book of Proverbs every day for whatever day of the month it is. I'll read that chapter. If today's the 2nd, I'll read this morning chapter 2. Tomorrow I'll read chapter 3 and so on. And that's a wonderful, good habit to get in the habit of. But anyway, there's life principles in the book of Proverbs. In chapter 22, in verse number 7, the Bible says this: the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. There's a scriptural principle concerning this subject. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, that language in the Bible, that word servant, it literally means a slave. When we are a borrower, we become a servant or a slave to the person whom we have borrowed off of. That does not matter if it's a mortgage, if it is a car loan, if it's a credit card that we have went out here and put things on. Whoever you've borrowed money off of, you owe them. And your liberty is limited by them in some way or another. You've got to work to pay them back. You owe them. So the borrower is servant to the lender. Benjamin Franklin. Some people say, well, Benjamin Franklin, he was a lost man. Why do we want to hear anything he's got to say? Well, he had a lot of wisdom. I know he was not a typical or not a, he didn't practice Christianity, that's for sure. He was a deist, but anyway, that's a whole nother subject. He still had a lot of wisdom. He did read the Bible. He probably went to church more than a lot of people who claim to be Christians. But anyway, Benjamin Franklin said that, he said, think what you do when you run in debt. You give to another power over your liberty. He said you'd better be careful running into debt. When you do that, you give power over your liberty to another person. That's the same principle that we find in chapter 22 in verse number 7. In the Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 28, God makes some promises to the children of Israel there. And in the first part of that chapter, he promises to bless them if they are obedient to him. In the second part of that chapter, he promises to curse them if they are disobedient to him. And in the second part of that chapter, in verse number 43 through verse number 45, I wanted to read some verses over there. This is what God tells the children of Israel, what will happen to them on a national level if they ever turn from listening to him, his statutes, his judgments, if they turn their back on God. God said this to them. He said, as a curse upon the nation. Verse number 43, he said, the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shall come down very low. Verse 44, he said, he shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Now, unless you've had your head under a rock for few years now, you know that in America, we are by and large becoming the tail. We're not the head anymore. We're not the leader in the world anymore. Our status in the world falls down every year that it goes on, that we run in debt. We become a danger to other countries, especially those we borrowed off of. Do you know, this morning I read the headlines on, I go to this just about every day, the Drudge Report. I recommend that just for good news, a summary of the day's headlines. But Russia, our once arch enemy, they're becoming very disgruntled, Russia and China, with the way America is running its monetary system. And Putin over there, Putin, however you say his name, he said that the economy, the financial system of America is a parasite on the rest of the economies of the world. Our enemies are getting very fed up with how we as a nation are running our nation. We've become the tail. Others have become the head. That is a sign of the curse of God upon a nation that has turned its back upon him. Verse 45 says, moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed. That's very serious words for a nation, and not only the nation of Israel, but any nation that claims God and then turns their back upon him is not going to have the blessing of God. I've heard this statistic from several different sources, and it says this: the federal government borrows 40 cents for every dollar that it spends. Now, we're not talking about spending $100. We're talking about spending billions and billions, and even up to the into the trillions of dollars. We are borrowing, our nation, our government is borrowing 40 cents on every dollar that we spend. We are no longer a lender nation. We are a debtor nation, and all we've heard for the past several months is about the debt ceiling, that our nation is going to go into default for the first time ever, and something needs to be done. And you know what? They sounded the same alarm just a few months ago, they said, if we don't raise the debt ceiling, the military is not going to get paid. And oh, how upset people got over that. This time they said, if we don't raise the debt ceiling, anybody that gets a Social Security check, they're not going to get paid. Put people into fits of fear and depression over this thing, and that's all they've been talking about. But I want to say today, if you and I assume I'm talking to just a normal, everyday American citizen out there, you know, if we conducted our finances like the federal government does, we would be put in jail for fraud and Ponzi schemes and counterfeiting, and just about, there'd be a whole long list of crimes that would be committed if we ran our finances like the government runs its finances. Suppose I go out here and I apply for a credit card, and I get the credit card, and I pay a few bills on it. I max it out, buy some things. Maybe I need some things that I don't need. Well, when I've maxed out the credit card, I don't pay it off. I go and apply for another credit card, and it has a higher limit on it. And so I take that credit card and I pay the very minimum on that first credit card. And then I do the same thing. I pay some bills. I buy some things. I splurge. I go out to eat. And then I get another credit card with a higher credit limit. And I pay the minimum on the first two. And then I splurge and I buy. And I pay a few bills. And somebody does some work for me. And I pay them. And I just do that over and over and over again. And I keep getting a higher credit card limit and paying the minimum on all those others, never paying any of them off, just paying the minimum on them. And then to supplement what I can't get through the credit card, I just go to a good copier and I print me some money, you know, some $100 bills and $50 bills, and I make my own money. And I begin to put it into the system. And, you know, if I'd done that, if you'd done that, boy, we'd be in a whole heap of trouble. But that is exactly what the government has been doing for years and years and years, borrowing more, paying the minimum, borrowing more, printing more money. Now, that's a whole subject in and of itself, is the paper money in your pocket. And the coinage that we carry is really worth nothing. Our founding forefathers would roll over in their graves if they seen today what was going on in America. But that is what the government has been doing. Now, this so-called deal that has been reached. Now, yesterday, the Winston-Salem Journal had an article on the front page, and it said, deal reached to raise nation's debt ceiling. And there's a part of that article I was going to share with you. This was from yesterday. It pretty much sums it up towards the end. Now, I don't know if you've ever taken a writing class, or you remember maybe in English, most people just read the first paragraph and get the gist of it. It really has to be interesting to read the rest of it. Well, this was at the very end of the article, and it summed it up. It said about this deal that's going to be supposedly passed today if everything goes right. It said the deal marked a classic compromise, a triumph of divided government that would let both Obama and Republicans claim they had achieved their objectives. As the president demanded, the deal would allow the debt limit to rise by enough to tide the Treasury over until after the 2012 elections. And I seen even today, I was reading the headlines this morning, all the Republicans, they're saying, we won. You know, Boehner, he made the statement. I don't see how these people can make these statements with a straight face. He said, this debt crisis is over and Americans are going to be put back to work. What a bunch of hogwash. And Nancy Pelosi yesterday, same thing. You know, I don't like this at all, but I'm going to vote for it. And I'm really proud of the things that have been accomplished and all this bunch of stuff we hear. But you know what? All that's really been done is this can has been kicked down the road once again until after the 2012 election. So just so that crowd gets elected again, that's really all this was all about. Scripturally, the borrower is servant to the lender, and we are a borrowing nation. We are a debtor nation. The great United States of America, we're the tail. We're no longer the head. Historically speaking, I've already said this, our founders would roll over in their graves if they seen what was going on. They all believe that, yes, debt was a necessary evil in times of emergency, but they capitalized the evil part because they knew that debt was a form of bondage, that public debt and private debt should be retired as soon as possible and certainly not passed on to the next generation. James Madison said this about debt. He said, I go on the principle that a public debt is a public curse. Thomas Jefferson said the conclusion then is that neither the representatives of a nation nor the whole nation itself assembled can validly engage debts beyond what they may pay in their own time. You know, our nation, this generation, we will never pay off this debt. My children will never get this paid for. My grandchildren, when they come along, I mean, we are so far in the hole that it seems impossible that we would ever get out of it. George Washington said this, to contract new debts is not the way to pay for old ones. Don't you wish that maybe we could get a plaque and send that to Mr. Obama and Mr. Biden and Ms. Pelosi and all that crowd up there that says, you know, we just need to borrow more money and we'll get out of this recession, depression, this economic mess that we're in. What fools. What fools they are. You cannot get out of debt by contracting new debt. Anybody ought to be able to know that and understand that, but yet we're on the path. Oh, we're going down a bad road. Thomas Jefferson said this, to preserve independence, we must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt. But that is exactly where we are. I want to read just a little bit out of the 5,000-year leap, a paragraph entitled The History of the American National Debt. It says, when we trace the history of the national debt, we find that the policy laid down by the founders has been followed by every generation until the present one. One of the charts accompanying this chapter reflects the national debt from the days of George Washington to the present. By carefully tracing the pattern of these debts, we notice that after every war or financial emergency involving heavy indebtedness, there was an immediate effort to pay it off as rapidly as possible. This policy was followed for the sake of the rising generation. The adult citizens of America wanted their children born in freedom, not bondage. He says, in our own day, however, a different attitude toward national fiscal policies has evolved. Now, there is a movement in America that says we've got to cap the debt ceiling. We can't go on like this. We have to make the hard choices now. But I'll tell you, That's not that the Tea Party movement, for example. Oh, how they are vilified by the press and by Hollywood and by the social people out here that just want to keep handing out and handing out when there's no more to hand out. And they're vilified because of that, and they're looked down and talked about badly because of that. But I'll tell you, if we don't get this under control, it will be, it is going to be the downfall of our nation. I just want to quickly make a present day application before I go off the air today. And I want to say that it's not that I don't believe that there is an answer to all this debt. I just have a hard time believing that the current crop of self-serving bureaucrats in Washington have the moral courage to do what really needs doing. My confidence in the ability of government to solve our problems, I guess, really is at an all-time low. It's never been really at an all-time high, but it's definitely at an all-time low. But you say, why don't you have any confidence that they can do anything right? Well, just look at what they've been doing. America, when George Bush went out of office, was in the ICU room then. We were in bad shape then. And then in the past couple of years, we brought a 2,000-ton elephant or a 2-ton elephant in and sat down on the chest of the patient. And, I mean, we're dying here. Our nation is falling. It's crumbling. You know, unemployment, economy. Just name it this morning. But nothing has been done in the past. And just a few things I'd like to say before we go off the air today. Our time is just about done. But I would say to somebody, say, what do we do? What are we supposed to do? Well, here's something you can do that you can do. Number one, get your spiritual house in order. Make sure you have a firm foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure that your spiritual house, that you have a faith greater than the government, than in society, because when the chips are really down, doesn't matter what your bank account looks like, it's all going to be gone anyway. You better have your faith in God. Get your spiritual house in order. Number two, get your financial house in order as much as possible. Get out of debt. Don't go in new debt. I'm not saying you shouldn't go on vacation if you've planned that, but don't go in debt to go on vacation this year or really any time. Save your money, go, pay cash, and come home with some money. Don't just spend everything you got. Be wise with your money that you have. Save some money for a rainy day because it's going to come. See things. I'm praying that we can see things as they really are, not as we're told that they are. Get your spiritual house in order. Get your financial house in order. Number three, get your priorities in order. You know, the most important thing in life is not job and money and more things. The happiest things are the most simple things: family, friends, church, your community, your neighborhood, being a good neighbor, having your friends. You don't have to have money to be happy. Most people that have a lot of money aren't happy. Get your priorities in order. Prepare that one day our nation will reap what it is sown. And when it does, it's going to knock the breath out of everybody. It's going to affect everybody. You might as well just get in your mind, it just cannot go on like it is. You think it can't go on. You think it can't get bad. Read the book of Lamentations in the Bible. If God can do that to the apple of his eye, what could happen to us? Number five, pray. Seek God. We need revival. Don't be disheartened. Look in God's word. Things aren't as bad as they say. The Lord's coming soon. That's my hope. Anyway, our time is quickly come and gone today. We certainly appreciate you listening in. Noah is going to come on and give us the contact information. If you're interested in school, give me a call. It's not too late. Thank you, Noah. Thanks for listening.
This has been Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wynn Greer at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. The church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through the church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.